Sunday, 28th of September, Tachas Elul, Rabbi David Roberts, Getting a Head Start.
Rav Shach Zichron Livracha said the following at the Hesper that he gave for the Brisker Rav. It contains a Yisoid, which has been quoted variously in slightly different formats, but this is what Rav Shach said at the Hesper for the Brisker Rav. As is well known, the Brisker Rav died Yom HaKippurim, and a few days before, 10 days before, just before Rosh Hashanah, Rav Shach said he went in to see his Rebbe, the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker Rav said to him, he said, "Vos Reb Zayin, Ma Yiyasof, what's going to be?" He was expressing worry, and Rav Shach said, he said, "I said to my Rebbe," he said, "Nichamti, I consoled him with the famous Gemara, the Yerushalmi, which the Torah brings, it's a Medrash as well, which I'm sure we're all familiar with, that our attitude, our approach to Rosh Hashanah is slightly unconventional. One would expect a person to approach Rosh Hashanah and do what was customary in those days, to wear black, to express contrition. And instead, what do? We treat it as a Yom Tov, the Simcha. We loshim levonim, we wear white, and there is a quiet confidence. And why is that?" Says the Gemara, says the Yerushalmi, because it bases it on the pasuk, "Mi goy gadol, who is a great nation like us, Klal Yisrael, that we know we're korei to the Ribbono Shel Olam, b'chol koreinu elav, we have a confidence, betuchim," says the Yerushalmi, "we can be batuach." We can be confident that the Ribbono Shel Olam will do a nes. A miracle, the Ribbono Shel Olam will perform a miracle for us. I mean, the first question, of course, is somebody has a court case and the barrister says to them, "Don't worry, we'll pull out a miracle." Doesn't exactly inspire confidence. But we can rely on the miracle. So it says, Rav Shach, "I said this to the Brisker Rav, I said we can be batuach, that the Ribbono Shel Olam will do a miracle. As they state in Yerushalmi." So he said, the Brisker Rav answered, and he said, "Pshat, in a piyut called Kesem Malchus, which is written by Shlomo Ben Gavirol, there's very beautiful lines there. And I'll read, and he says, 'Elokai, im avoini minasei godoil, matasa l'shimcha agodoil. Ribbono Shel Olam, if my sin is too great to be born, what will happen to your great name if we're not there to represent you? If you choose to call in my debts, my sins, as it were, evrach mimcha eilecha, I will run away, I will flee from you, but where can I flee to? Eilecha, to you. Ve'eskase mechamotcha b'tzilecha, and I will cover myself up from your anger. Where will I cover myself? B'tzilecha, in your shade." What does this mean? So the Brisker Rav quoted the Rambam in Pirsha Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, which says, he says this concept is actually to be found in the words of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, when he's talking about why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, he says, "Shem yimei avoda v'hachna'a u'pachad u'mayra me'Hashem v'yira mimenu." Rosh Hashanah really are days of service to the Ribbono Shel Olam, submission, humility, pachad, fear, dread, v'yira mimenu, and he finishes with the words, "Umivrach umonos eilav," and a refuge. We flee from the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're afraid, but his monos, at the same time, there is monos eilav, that he is our refuge. Said the Brisker Rav, that this concept that the Shlomo Ben Gavirol is saying in his piyut is to be found in the Rambam. He says, what does this mean? Because people sometimes say they have bitachon. They have confidence. They're sure. They're confident. He says bitachon can only take place. True bitachon has to be preceded by a true realization and the yira and the pachad and the dread and the fear that is generated from a true realization of what the situation is. Only then can you have pachad. To have bitachon without the pachad is not bitachon, it's foolishness. I've seen elsewhere the same vort from the Brisker Rav quoted on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yoyim Ira Eilecho Ani Boteach. On a day when I am afraid, then I can have bitachon. So the Brisker Rav said to Rav Shach, he said, to have bitachon, just to say, well, it says in Yerushalmi that we can be boteach. He says, a pshat in Yerushalmi is, you can be boteach, but only if it's preceded by a full realization of what Rosh Hashanah is, and the dread and the fear that comes with it. Only then can you rely on and can you have bitachon. It's very important you said. And perhaps with this, we can explain the famous question that is asked by Rabbi Itzel Blazer. I'd like to suggest the answer that is given by Rabbi Chatzkel Leponovich and Mashkiach. And the question that is asked is, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we go through this every year, we go through this whole, this Seder HaDvarim, we have a Rosh Hashanah, Seder Yom Teshuvah, we have a Yom HaKippurim. Well, it's going to happen anyway. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam would reverse the order? You're anyway Maver Ashmoiseinu B'chol Shana V'Shana, you're a Melech Meichel V'Seileach, so let's have Yom HaKippurim first, let's have Yom HaKippurim, and when we've been forgiven, and then we can then judge us. You're going to do both anyway. Why not do it the other way round? Said Rabbi Chatzkel, and it's really this you said from the Brisker Rav. Said Rabbi Chatzkel, it's a fallacy. He says, because the depth of the din on Rosh Hashanah is such, when we think about it, what we say in the Piyutim, Umalochim Yechofezun, V'chilura'ova Yechezun, the Malochim tremble. What have they got to tremble about? Ki lo yizku beinecha b'adin refers to the Malochim, not Klal Yisrael. They won't get through the din. They depend on us. Their existence depends on us. And therefore to think that if we would have a selicha or mechila first, that would be the greatest disservice, says Rav Chatzkel. Because then we would enter Rosh Hashanah, Chas V'Shalom, with a complacency. Maybe even with an arrogance. And that is the thing that would stand us in the worst stead. It has to be this way. Because then when we realize we approach a Rosh Hashanah almost cold, as it were, without having the Yom HaKippurim first, then hopefully what we can do is we can drum up a seriousness, a sense of really an understanding what's really transpiring. And that creates a Yira, and it should create a Yira. It should create a Pachad. And when we have that Pachad, then we can have Bitachon. Rosh Hashanah is a strange Yom Tov. It's an enigmatic Yom Tov because there appear to be almost contradictory threads, contradictory ideas that run through it. Let's try and explain some of these a little bit. I'm sure it's well known, the episode that's brought in Nehemiah, where they seem to be unaware that it was Rosh Hashanah, and they read out from the Sefer Torah, and they realized it was Rosh Hashanah, and what happened? They all started crying. They realized, Kikodeshu Lashem Elokeichem, they realized it was Kikodesh Hayom L'Adoneinu, they realized it was Rosh Hashanah, and they started crying. And Ezra tells them, Al Tisablu V'Al Tivku, don't mourn, don't cry, Al Teyotzu, instead I'll tell you what to do. Eat well, drink well, and send presents. Send money, send portions to those that don't have, those that are socially disadvantaged. You don't need to mourn. And again, this bears out what the Brisker Rav has said. He only told them that because they had clearly had a sense of the Yira. They were crying, they had an understanding of what was really taking place. Then he could turn around to them and say, now you can go home and you can eat and you can drink. But it seems somehow, says Rav Huttner, that the doing acts of chesed, to go home to say, the Medrash says we eat, we drink, we know that. But this Mishloach Monos, where does that come into the picture? How does that come into Rosh Hashanah? It must have something to do somehow with the essence of the day. What's that got to do with anything? And the other question, of course, is what is this nes? There's bitochen, says the Medrash, the Torah, there's bitochen that there's going to be a nes. What is this nes? What is the nature of this nes? The famous Gemara, which we're all familiar with, and I'd like to share with you perhaps an insight into a ma'amar of Rabbi Itzel Blaser on the chat in this Gemara. When we think about the dynamic of din, how does the Rabbeinu Shleilam judge us on Rosh Hashanah? How does it work? The Gemara, the Mishnah tells us one thing. On Rosh Hashanah we pass before the Rabbeinu Shleilam Kivnei Moroin. And the Gemara gives us no less than three Mishalim to explain to us to what Kivnei Moroin means. I'm sure we're all familiar with them, just run through them. The Gemara says the first pshat is Kivnei Imrana, like sheep that pass over a stile, they're counted one by one. Rish Lakish says no, it's like human beings that are in a particular place where it's a tight spot, and to go past again you pass Malos Beis Moroin one by one. And Shmuel says no, Kechayolei So Beis David, like the soldiers of Beis David that were counted when they went out to war, one by one. And the first and obvious question asks Rabbi Itzel, on the face of it, it sounds rather patronizing, as if somehow the Gemara is suggesting that we don't know what the concept of one by one means, and we need a total of three Mishalim to explain to us what one by one means. If that's chat in the Gemara, if that's chat in the Mishnah, surely asks Rabbi Itzel, all the Gemara needs to say is, do you know what Kivnei Moroin means? One, Zeachazeh, there it is, Zeachazeh. Now we need three Mishalim. And if that isn't difficult enough, the very next statement in the Gemara is Amar Rabba Babachon Amar Rabbi Yochanan V'chulam Niskorin B'Skiro Achas. Says Rashi, Afal Tishayivrim Zeachazeh, even though we're judged one by one, yet there is a scrutiny that is overarching that takes place in a split second. And that raises the obvious question, what does this mean? If the Gemara has gone to such lengths to explain to us that it means ze'achazeh, the dynamic of the din on Rosh Hashanah is ze'achazeh, and yet it's b'skira achas. What does this mean? Says Rabbi Itzel, he explains with the following Gemara. Gemara is brought in two places in Rosh Hashanah. It's an interesting Gemara and it needs some explanation, but the concept stands, and Rabbi Itzel takes it quite literally, and he understands it to be central to the din on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, Melech v'tzibur nechnosim ledin. If there is a Melech, the king, and the rest of the tzibur on nechnosim ledin, they have to be judged. The Melech nechnas chila. The king is judged first, and the Gemara gives two reasons, and the reason that Rabbi Itzel focuses on is the following. The Gemara says, do you know why? Mikama de leifo shcharoin af. The king is judged first before kivyachol the Rabbeinu Shalom's anger mounts up, before there is a lot of anger. Rashi says, why should there be a lot of anger? Bishvil avoinois hatzibur, because of the averus of the tzibur that accumulate. And as they accumulate, the Rabbeinu Shalom, kivyachol the Rabbeinu Shalom's anger mounts up. Says Rabbi Itzel, we see from here that it is imperative to get a head start, to be in the front of the queue. And the reason for that, he explains, is because Malchusa de Rakia ke'en Malchusa de Ara. The Rabbeinu Shalom runs the mishpat in such a way so as to be meaningful to us, so that we can relate to it. And for that reason, the Rabbeinu Shalom set it up in such a way that there are prosecutors and there are defenders, there are Mekatregim, there are Sanigurim. Indeed, Agav was a very beautiful Meshechochmo, which everybody really should know. And that is, he says that the whole point of Ne'ilah is where the Rabbeinu Shalom dismisses all of the prosecutors and the defenders that have been there until now, in this whole ma'arocha, this whole hierarchy, this whole structure of din. And in Me'ilah, he turns round to us and he says, okay, now it's just you and me. Because that's when we deal with Chilul Hashem. Because the malachim can't defend Chilul Hashem, because their whole purpose, their whole existence is to stand up to Kavod Shamayim. But this is a concept that's well established. The Rabbeinu Shlalem, so that we can relate to the Malchus and the Din, what does he do? He does it in such a way, he structures it in such a way that we can relate to it. Therefore, there are prosecutors and there are defenders. And for that reason, says Rabbi Itzel, it's imperative that we get a head start. The further ahead in the queue we can get for Din, the better, the easier the Din. Rabbi Aaron Kotler adds a knetch. He says, because as you go on in the din, you're adding to the cumulative total, and you're making things more difficult for those that come after you, and that itself gets added to your cheshbon. Either way, be that as it may, says Rabbi Itzel, he makes a big play on this concept of getting a head start, being ahead. Mikama the Leifer Shcharoin Af, like the Gemara says, before the anger of the Rabbeinu Shlomo mounts, when the cumulative total of the Avonos HaTzibur, as Rashi says, when it adds up and it keeps adding up and more Averas, then we're judged more harshly. And therefore, says Rabbi Itzel, it's imperative to get ahead. Now, how does this work? Says Rabbi Itzel, three ways. He says as follows, and these are the three Mishalim. He says we are judged on Rosh Hashanah either through unmitigated din, undiluted, absolute, strict, harsh, unyielding divine justice, mamash din, or one stage down, one stage better is rachamim. Rachamim is of course a fusion of din and chesed. As the Mesilas Yesharim says in Perek Daled at great length, he explains how it works. Rachamim turns round to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and says, yes, Midat HaDin has to be fed, as it were. It has to be accommodated, but not just yet. But maybe just say very quickly, the Mesilas Yesharim says that when a person sins, really three things should happen. First of all, there should be an immediate response. And immediately, it's the consequence. It's not punitive, it's not a punishment. This is what you've done, therefore you have to live with the direct consequence of your action. A chet is a metzias. And it should be with the full force, the full consequences. And number three, there should be no way back. Teshuva is an absurdity. To reverse something which is actually irreversible doesn't make sense. Rachamim says, wait a bit. Ma'arich af the gover delay. Rachamim says, yes, Midas Adin. There will be a time when Midas Adin will be able to claim its own, but let's wait a little bit. And even when the Rabbeinu Shlomo feels that he does have to punish us a bit, he doesn't do it, Baruch Hashem, with the full force, the full direct consequence of what we've done. It's just a little lesson. And there is tshuva, which is chesed gomor. So the second way that we can be judged is if the Rabbeinu Shlomo finds a zechus of some sort, and thus judges us with rachamim, not with din. And the third is if somebody can't get through with din, can't even get through with rachamim, he hasn't got this eza zechus, and he doesn't say these words, but I think that's pshat in what he's saying. He's saying the Rabbeinu Shloilem, what he does is there is a midah of v'chanesi et asher ochrim v'richamti et asher arachim. Afal pisha einoi hogan, says the Gemara, that's chesed. It's what the Ramchal would call anhogas hayichud. It's what the Rabbeinu Shloilem can do. He chooses, and this is a sibon ne'elemeh, something that we don't understand why it should be. Somebody that doesn't even appear to have eizah zechus. The Rabbeinu Shloilem chooses, he's got his own cheshbonus. That's chesed, that's total chesed. Says Rabbi Itzel, now we can understand the three Mishalim in the Gemara. The three Mishalim in the Gemara, we don't need three Mishalim in the Gemara to tell us what Ze'achazeh means. Of course we know what Ze'achazeh means. But look at the Mishalim. And he says the first one is Kivnei Imrona, like the sheep. Sheep, no sense of queuing. They don't have manners. When the pen is opened, when the style is opened, who gets to the front of the queue? The strongest one, the one that can push hardest, the one that can knock more out of the way, the strongest one. And that translates in our moshul to those very few tzaddikim that can get through b'midas hadin. They deserve, they're the strongest, they get through b'zeh hazeh. Why are they at the front of the queue? Because they deserve to be at the front of the queue, because they're the strongest. That's the first gedah. And then the second one, he says, is a moshul of people. Malas beis moroin, people. How does it work usually in civilized society when people are released? In what order are they released? In civilized society, it's by those that queued up. The one that's at the front of the queue isn't necessarily the one that is the most deserving per se. He might not be the strongest. He might not be most deserving to be at the front of the queue. But he's at the front of the queue. Why? Because he queued up early. Because he got there early and he put himself at the front of the queue. That itself is the zechus. That's rachamim. You're not there because you're the strongest. You're not there because midas hadin allows you to be there, because you're a tzaddik with the greatest mitzvahs, but because you prepared and you pushed yourself through. You started preparing in Elul, or at least before Rosh Hashanah, and you got yourself there. You get through first. Mikama deleifus chareinah, before the anger of the Rabbeinu Shalala mounts up. That's the second Moshul. And the third one, he says, Kechayole Shel Beis David, like the soldiers of Beis David. When you're in the army, you do what the officer tells you, what the general tells you, and he chooses. It's at his whim, totally. He decides who goes to the front. It's entirely up to him. And it's not ours to question or to reason. He decides. The Rabbeinu Shalom, this is the third midah, V'chaleisiyas asher ochoin, apol pishenei hogun, keviochel, it's the Rabbeinu Shalom van hoga. It's the way he chooses, even though we don't understand it, there doesn't appear to be any zchus at all. That's how he understands the pshat in the Gemara. It occurred to me, perhaps we can say as follows. Why Rosh Hashanah is Bakesa? It's a Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Tov where there are aspects of it that we don't fully understand. Indeed, the Torah just tells us Yom Teruah, doesn't tell us it's a Yom Adin at all. Yaakov Kamenetsky comments very famously, it was only later in history when it was needed to be Ma'orer us, Chazal revealed to us that it was a Yom Adin. Initially it was enough to say it was a Yom of Melucha, a Yom of Malchus. Because Rosh Hashanah is commemorating an event in which we actually have very little understanding. Kvod Elokim Hasdei Dovah. Creation itself is something that we know very little about. Other than the Rabbeinu Shalom at Bashafan Avot, the Rabbeinu Shalom decided to create, as the Ramban says famously at the beginning of the Torah, how it worked and exactly what it was, these are sodas. These are secrets. But one thing we can say, Lechura, if we examine what Chazal tell us about Bria, I think the following becomes clear. The starting point is Rotzen. Kesa. Rotzen Hashem. The desire of the Rabbeinu Shleilam to create. He chose to create. The first thing we can say about him, and the deeper thing we can say about him, is that he chose to create. Of course, he was not Chas V'Shalom compelled. He chose to create. Why? We know. Because he wanted to do good. Chesed. He wanted that there be Briyas upon whom he could shower his chesed. Michal katoiv lehetik. Ramchal talks about this at great length. We know that's the motivation behind creation. The Rabbeinu Shalom wanted that there be Briyas that could accept his toiva. So there's chesed in the roots of Rosh Hashanah. And then how did he create? Bereshis bara Elokim. All of the machshava, the tachlis, the purpose, was that at some level the world should be able to justify itself through midas hadin. Whether that's through the lives of the tzaddikim, whether it's through ultimately there will be a yom hadin, a final yom hadin, there has to be din. Ki chol drochav mishpat. The only thing we say in Shemayin Esther, which the Rabbeinu Shleilam loves, is oyeid tzedako mishpat. There has to be ultimately mishpat. Kol ha'imar akadosh baruch hu vatrum hu yivatrum ba'ayhi. Anybody who says the Rabbeinu Shleilam just gives in and concedes, Chas v'Shalom, misses the whole point. And that was there right at the beginning of creation. But then immediately it was mitigated on with the Shittafim of the Farachamim. Hashem Elohim, he saw that for the world to run, there would be an accommodation, a temporary accommodation, there would be Rachamim. And this is the Yom Tov that commemorates this event. Of course, therefore, it makes sense what Reb Itzel is saying. These three things, these three hashpores, manifest themselves in this Yom Tov. Originally, the desire to create that was rooted in Chesed, the dynamic of the creation itself, which is Bereishis Bara Elokim, which was Din, and then the accommodation of the dynamic of running the world, which is Rachamim Hashem Elohim. The two together that make Rachamim. And therefore these are the three Mashalim, and therefore this is the reason why these three modes of Din are present on Rosh Hashanah. And the choice that we make is to, in which of these do we come? The famous Zohar. But it's worth mentioning again, because perhaps we can use it in some way to understand the apparent contradiction in the Gemara that we started with. And it's also, it's a mahalach. It's a way into Yom HaDin. Famous Zohar comments on the story of the Shunamis, where it says, where the Shunamis, the Novi says to her, Ayeshlach ledaber el ha-melech, would you like me to intercede on your behalf to the Rabbeinu Shalom? And she says, no, those famous words, B'seich Ami Anochi Yeshemesh. Says the Zohar, that day was Rosh Hashanah, and Hayeshlach Ledaber El HaMelech means, would you like me to speak on your behalf to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? And she says, no, thank you. Says the Zohar, Leiboina Diyid Kruin Li V'Yishgachun Bi, Elo B'seich Ami. I don't want to be mentioned in dispatches individually. Somebody that puts himself as part of the cloud doesn't get mentioned, as it were, doesn't get singled out for special scrutiny, and thus can get to, and this finds expression in halacha, as we know, with the Shulchan Aruch says you don't daven musa before 3 hours in the day. It's not just a nice idea in the Zohar. Because, and as the Mishnah Berurah says, because you don't want to be chidus, you don't want to be single out. L'chur, this is trapped in the Gemara that we started with. And this is a mahalach. On the one hand, we said the Gemara has gone to great lengths to explain how we are judged b'zeh chazeh, with these three modalities. Either through din, like Reb Itzel explains, either through din, through rachamim, or through chesed. But the very next line, the Gemara says, v'chulam niskarim b'skira achas. What does this mean? What does this mean? L'chura the pshat is poshet. When Hillel says, "Imein ani li mili uchshani la'atmi u'ani," what is he actually telling me? The Seder Hadvarim is very important. First of all, "Imein ani li mili," I need to recognize, I need to work out what my own koichas are. A person first needs to understand who he is, what his challenges are, what his opportunities are, and to recognize his obligation, his chiyuv for avodas Hashem as a yochid. But then, uchshani la'atmi mo'ani. If I leave it at that, and I choose to use my individuality without reference to the klal, uchshani la'atmi on my own, mo'ani, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. I'm not deserving of. There's no guarantee, ain't have tocha le tzadikim, there's no guarantee of my continued existence. And this lechur is reflected in the two parashas of Shema. First parasha is Lashon Yochid, second parasha is Lashon Rabbim, it's the same thing. La'avos Hashem alekech b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshchem b'chol meidecho, and then la'avos Hashem b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshchem. Because the challenge, of course, is first of all to understand who I am as a Yochid, and then to recognize that there's any zechus kiyum that I have, any right that I have to continued existence depends on the extent that I connect myself to Klal Yisrael. Famous Rambam, Perush in the Hilchos Tshuva, Perush Midarchei Tzibur, even though he doesn't do any Averus, but he's not Nimnei Moim, he doesn't do Mitzvahs Bichlolam, Ein Lechelek Leilam Abol. What's he done? What's this fellow done? You know what he's done? He's been monastic himself, He's cut himself off from that only thing that is guaranteed continued existence. And that is Klal Yisrael. The Maggid says, Kol Yisrael Yisham Chelik Leilam Abba, it means Klal Yisrael. And the minute you cut yourself off from that, Eina Tocha L'Tzadikim. But, if this person, it first of all approaches Rosh Hashanah with a Yira, with a Pacha, like the Briskerov said. First comes the Pacha, then can be the Bitochen. What's the Bitochen? The Bitochen at what? The Nes. What is the Nes? Rabbi Akademden used to say, he says, the greatest Nes of all is the continued existence of Klal Yisrael. We should have stopped existing a long time ago. That is guaranteed. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom chose us as an Am to be the agent for Gila Yehudai, to be Megala Kved Shemayim in the world. And therefore, first of all, the Rabbeinu Shalom is done us b'zeh achazeh as a yochid. And we hopefully make it either through din is very difficult, but through rachamim, and if not through chesed. But in what context? V'chulam nisparim b'skira achat. The Rabbeinu Shalom looks at us as yechidim and says that the individual talents and opportunities that I gave you, you want to continue existing, but it's v'chulam nisparim b'skira achat. To what extent have you used that to be a chelek of Klal Yisrael? Because if you're a chelek of Klal Yisrael and you've used your koichas for that, then tuchin, we can be guaranteed that we'll be part of that mace that is the continued existence of Klal Yisrael.